Technorama episode 535, Periwinkle Marmalade.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Excuse me, where is your...
Over there, in the media corner.
Oh, thank you very much.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
I'll have this cleaned up in a minute.
Yeah. Mop on aisle three.
Mop on mixer channel four. Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time to Technorama, welcome. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you giving us your time. If you are coming back, well, great for you.
Good on you.
Thank you. Once again, we appreciate you as well. My name is Chuck Tomasi in sunny Phoenix, Arizona. And joining me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing great, man. I'm excited. I'm ready to get back to this.
Happy Father's Day as we record this.
Yes, and happy Father's Day to you as well.
Thank you. Who's your daddy?
Warren.
What did you say?
Warren.
Foreign?
My dad. Warren.
Warren?
The W. It's his name, Warren.
I thought it was Doug.
Well, it is. His middle name is the same as mine, and he goes by his middle name.
Oh, okay. I got you.
It depends. If it's official, he's Warren. If it's just casual, hey, he's Doug.
If the cops pull him over, he's Warren.
Another day, another Doug.
Gotcha. No, I know a lot of people that go with their middle name, or sometimes they do an initial thing, like it's you know, J. Robert something.
Mm-hmm. Well, Harrison, myself, my dad, my grandfather.
Wait, Harrison, is it his first name?
No. It's his first name. I'm just saying.
It's Harrison Douglas?
His middle name, my middle name, my dad's middle name, and my grandfather's are all the same.
You're not working very hard at this game.
Trying to be precise.
And if Harrison has a daughter, her middle name is Doug. Deal with
it. That's right. Yeah, either way. No, it's Douglas, actually. But yes, he's going with it.
All right. Shall we get into the feedback?
Yes.
I love playing this music. It just gets me in the mood.
Letters. Oh, we get letters.
Men of letters.
Every day. Mailman. Reach right in and pull one out. Those letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh, boy.
Hey, speaking of letters.
Yes.
I bought I know Clinton Albert got one because he bought
a letter?
Face. Listen, no, it's an Enterprise refit, and on the box it said NCC-1701-A refit. I was like, okay.
No, I saw what you built. It was a D.
Wait a minute. No. This weekend I bought an Enterprise refit model.
Okay.
On the box, it says NCC-1701-A refit. Well, the A wasn't a refit. All right, that's to begin with.
Right.
All right. All right, so I kind of let that go, and I was like, okay, I like the style of shit. That's what I want.
You got the Taiwan knockoff.
But on the whole, look, it says, there is no bloody A.
You got a knockoff.
it's Hot Wheels. Actually, Clinton's is the same way. Clinton's is the same way. As box said A, and yet it says just standard NCC.
Yeah. Hot Wheels, but it's spelled not quite Hotwheels. It's got a Z on the end, and it's from Katsutiko.
No, it is. Actually, I'm fine with it. I'm okay with it. I'm going to let that go because I've been dying to get one of these ships to put it on my desk, like just a little knickknack. Oh, I'll tell you what else I got. Speaking of letters, S.
Yes.
And F for the flash. So anyway. All right, let's get to our feedback.
Very nice. Our feedback, we asked you last week, what superpower would you not want? And we got quite a few responses to this. We got Grandpa Choco saying, telepathy. I don't want to talk to people face to face, let alone via my mind. He's got a point.
Yeah.
Rick Mim says comparative nuclear flatulence.
Yeah, we can also mark as a duplicate explosive farts. So
yes, nobody wants that.
No.
Hang on, I just clicked on somebody's name and now I have to navigate back. And the of course, this video is just taking all my bandwidth right now. I don't need
Cynthia
to see
Fry said the power of reanimation, sort of like pushing daisies.
So to bring a dead person back to life, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I saw that movie, Reanimation.
Oh, okay.
Animator. Ooh.
We have Jack Jaffe says, the ability to breathe fire, you'd never be able to eat ice cream again.
That only happens when you go to like, and you know, get somewhere and get like the really hot wings.
I tape my ice cream. Tiffany Taylor says mind reading, which kind of goes with Grant Pachoco's. Dylan Brosh says a 12-minute video just to say super strength, just in case you want it to burn 12 minutes of time. Oh, okay.
By the way, if you ever are looking for an entertaining science-based, semi-science-based YouTube channel, go look up Because Science.
Okay.
And he, on this video, he talks about why you don't want super strength because of the equal and opposite, you know, reaction. So if you punch somebody, you're going to go, you could potentially go the other way in the same amount of force.
You need super strength, but also super friction to hold you in place.
But yes, go watch Kyle. He actually was the host of the Mythbusters show where they were looking for a new host.
Yeah.
But he does this show called Because Science, and it's quite fun to watch.
My cousin Jeffrey says, X-ray vision, no thanks. I really don't need to see through that many things either. Weber Baker, longtime listener and friend of the show, says, Spidey senses walking around on tingling all the time would be irritating.
But look what your sister said below.
It's called hot flashes during menopause without the extra senses.
Nice. Oh, that's funny.
And then my sister comes back and says, smell some people's feet. I'm telling you. Ooh, I have super smell. Danny Cutler says, mind reading. I don't want to know. Digital Dan Hook, growing fingernails like Meg on Family Guy. Jake Justison, anything that Aquaman has. Apparently he doesn't.
I think you're going to find out. He's a lot cooler than you think in the movie coming up.
Adam Larson says, I don't want to know what animals are saying about me behind my back. And my sister says, I wonder what my dog named me. Another one of my cousins, too. Jared, says Professor X's ability. Now, Sarah came back and said, hearing. And I said, do you mean like super hearing or just hearing in general? And she replied with my name. I'm not sure what's going on with this conversation here.
She probably hit enter because she was laughing too hard.
Micah Martinez, anything that would allow me to mentally or physically control someone without their consent. I like that answer. I really do. Someone's thinking way too sensibly for this show.
Yeah. Stop
and,
it.
And Della also says reading minds. Let's see. We've got more comments down here. Jill Marie Weingarten says, I enjoy all of them. Do I have to give one up?
Right. Right.
Winner chicken dinner right there.
That's right.
That's the feedback we got. Stay tuned to the end of the show. We will give you another question for you to respond to us. And on with the show.
Take us out.
No in-studio guests, so we don't need the D20 tonight. It's just you and me. So let's do this history thing.
All right.
On this day in history for June 20th, 2018, this is the 171st day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 194 days remaining in 2018. It was on this date in 1248 that the University of Oxford receives its royal charter, and this is a long one today, so stick with us. We might run out of music again.
Here we go. It was also on this date in 1787 that Oliver Ellsworth moves to the Federal Convention to call the government the United States.
So he's the man responsible with this name.
Yes.
If it was somebody else, well, never mind. I'm not going to get into that because we got
I'll go with Estados Unidos.
I was going to say that if his name wasn't Oliver Ellsworth. Also today in 1819, the United States vessel SS Savannah arrives in Liverpool, Kingdom. It is the first steam-propelled vessel to cross the Atlantic. 1819, kids. That's on the test. Although, the journey was made mostly under sail. Like, quick, turn on the engines for the last 5 miles so it looks like we did it.
Yeah, we could only use them for 5 minutes.
Yeah, at the start and at the end.
So June 20th, 1837, Queen Victoria succeeds to the British throne as opposed to all those who had failed.
And hence entered the Victorian era. Also on June 20th, 1840, Samuel Morse receives the patent for the telegraph.
And immediately following up about 7 years later, it was on this date in 1877 that Alexander Graham Bell installs the world's first commercial telephone service in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. I thought he was going to say payphone.
I'm rich. I get a nickel every time.
He invented the phone, and next week he had a payphone in service somewhere.
June 20th, 1893, Lizzie Borden is acquitted of the murders of her father and stepmother.
Baron Edward Toll, leader of the Russian Polar Expedition of 1900, departs St. Petersburg, Russia on the explorer ship Zira, never to return on this date in 1900. That was short.
He never to return on this date.
Yeah.
Let's celebrate the date he never returned. It was also on this date in 1944, the experimental MW 18014, the 18014 V2 rocket reaches an altitude of 176 kilometers, becoming the first man-made object to reach outer space.
I'm sorry, I'm still laughing at the never to return on this date. Like, just sounds weird. On the previous one. So June 20th, 1945, the United States Secretary of State approves the transfer of Wernher von Braun and his team of Nazi rocket scientists to the U.S. under Operation Paperclip.
There's a pretty benign name. Let's go to Operation Paperclip. It was 55. Let's go to Operation Garbage Can next. It was 55 years ago today that following the Cuban Missile Crisis, the Soviet Union and the United States signed an agreement to establish a so-called red telephone link between Washington and Moscow.
I wonder what the roaming charges on those things are. June 20th, 1975, the film Jaws is released in the United States, becoming the highest grossing film of all time and starting the trend of films known as summer blockbusters.
I remember that. Dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun. Gonna need a bigger
boat.
How
can you not, man? It's scary.
It was on this date in 1990 that asteroid Eureka is discovered.
And the Wikimedia Foundation is founded in St. Petersburg, Florida. Not Russia, on this date in 2003.
Never to return.
Yeah, never to return on this date in 1900.
Happy birthday goes out of the state to American astronomer and author Mary R. Calvert, born on this date in 1884. She's never to return.
Born June 20th, 1889, Greek South African astronomer and academic John S.
Paraskevalopoulos. That's right. Yeah. Lloyd Hall, the American chemist and academic, was born 124 years ago today.
And Errol Flynn, Australian-American actor, was born on the same date in 1909.
Lo, or young Chevy Chase. Robin Hood approacheth. Where were we? Also turning 104 years ago today, Turkish archaeologist and academic Muzes İlmiye Çiğ.
Okay, American actor and producer Martin Landau was born 90 years ago today.
Also born on the same date in 1931, American actress Olympia Dukakis.
And also turning 76 today is American singer, songwriter, and producer Brian Wilson.
Beach Boys.
Yep.
Canadian singer. He's married to Ann Wilson. That's a sister.
Okay.
No. Canadian singer and guitarist Ann Murray is 73 today.
And American singer-songwriter, pianist, producer, and actor Lionel Richie, born on this date in 1949.
He's still dancing on the ceiling. Also 67-year-old Tress McNeil, famous voiceover actress.
And American actor John Goodman was born on this date in 1952.
And born that same date in 1960, English singer-songwriter, bass player, and actor John Taylor. Let's see if we can get this in another wire.
And also born 51 years ago today, American astronomer and Australian actress Nicole Kidman.
Russian mathematician. Oh, goody. Misha Verbitsky, born on this date in 1969. Woo!
And never to return again in 1969.
That's the way it was on this date in history for June 20th, 2018. Oh, yes, that's satisfying. Let's turn to the listener birthdays. We have June 21st is Askie Adam from The Hook Show. We should probably verify some of these podcasts they advertise are still around.
The last one he put up was in 2010.
Probably not.
he's on a hiatus.
His podcast is never to return.
Yeah, on this bait in 2010.
June 22nd has three birthdays. Lance Heath, he used to have a podcast.
Yeah, I was just chatting with him the other day on
Jack Facebook Stevens Messenger. And Chris Martinez from Scotland. The 25th, a couple of birthdays. Mark Shepard, longtime listener, friend of the show, born in 1957, which makes him now, how old is that, Craig? Quick, do the math.
Huh? 57. Huh?
61.
Oh, yeah, 61.
And Jim Gookin from Philadelphia, PA. And also the 26th is Patrick Norton. We interviewed him a long time ago, did we not?
Yeah, I see his picture floating around.
I'm pretty sure we did. In fact, that reminds me.
He's a listener. He's a long-time listener.
Yeah, sure. And so is Leonard Nimoy.
No, he's not listening anymore, unfortunately.
You keep. He might be. Come on, don't ruin my fun.
Okay.
I need to line up audio clips while we do this next show, this next story. If you want to be on the birthday calendar, go over to chuckchat.com/wiki. Get your name on there. We'll give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year. We love it because there are weeks in the year where there's no birthdays and we really need the help. Well, we need help with a lot of other things, but that's one of them.
We need the help. Yeah, that's right.
All right, shall we do the news stories?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay, let's see. Here.
Who likes good news, everyone? Then good news, everyone!
All right, you take this story while I do the audio clips I forgot to set up earlier.
Okay. So everybody knows that Stephen Hawking passed away within the last, 4 months? 6 months?
It's been a while.
Anyway, it's been a while. So Stephen Hawking's voice is beamed into space as his ashes are interred.
Okay.
So the ashes of renowned physicist Stephen Hawking were interred in the Westminster Abbey, Westminster Abbey in London on Friday in a memorial ceremony attended by a mixture of celebrities and members of the public. Astronaut Tim Peake and British actor Benedict Cumberbatch both gave readings. They both gave readings. Astronomer Royal Martin Rees paid tribute to Hawking's work. Following the service, Hawking's words set to an original score by composer Vangelis was beamed into space by the European Space Agency. So Hawking died at the age of 76 after a longtime study of science of space and time. His final resting place is situated between the remains of two other great scientists, Charles Darwin and Isaac Newton.
Yes.
It is a rare honor to be interred at the Abbey, and one that has not been afforded to a scientist in almost 80 years.
I heard about that. Yeah, that he was going to, I think we covered that when he passed away, that his ashes were going to be put right between Isaac Newton and who was the other one?
Charles Darwin.
Charles Darwin, yeah. Talk about a parking space. Wow. Very nice. Good for him.
Parking space?
The ultimate
parking space. Making a handicap joke?
The ultimate parking space.
No, it's really cool.
That is cool.
I think it's well worth it.
You bet. I hope I can get
this. By the way, did I mention I was related to Isaac Newton? Just saying.
Maybe we need like a podcaster graveyard that we can park next to.
Yeah, that's right. It's in the parking lot of a defunct radio station.
With the weeds growing up through the cracks in the pavement. Yeah, that's nice.
Actually, when I said that, I was thinking of the UHF.
out in the middle of nowhere.
Where Al's radio, a TV station, actually.
While we are talking about smart people and smart topics, let's cover another one about quantum entanglement, something that Craig and I know everything about, I just considerably.
Yeah. Actually, we taught Stephen Hawking all about it.
Yeah.
Before
I taught him everything he knows, but I didn't teach him everything I know. If you're going to create if you're going to create virtually unbreakable quantum networks, you need to create quantum entanglement so that particles and thus pieces of data are intertwined at long distances. There hasn't been a reliable way to make that happen, however, until now. Scientists at TU Delft have produced the first entanglement on demand. That is, they can reliably trigger quantum pairing effect and make it last long enough to be meaningful. The effect worked across two nodes and a modest distance of 6.6 feet, or about 2 meters. But it raises the possibility of a quantum internet that is far more secure than what you see today. The breakthrough started with a new entanglement method that ensnares particles in diamond chips at 40 times per second, about 1,000 times faster than before. Previous approaches were slow enough to lose that entanglement more quickly than scientists could create it. So they weren't able to fill the bucket fast enough is what it comes down to. The team also found a way to shield entanglement from noise, because noise deteriorates entanglement. Once you don't, when you don't have that entanglement anymore, your electrons and particles aren't in sync anymore. So preventing them from degrading as quickly as they have in the past. There's a lot of work to be done before there's honest-to-goodness networking in place. TU Delft can theoretically add a third node and create a true network. It's not much of a network if it's just two.
Yeah.
But it has yet to reach that point. There's a nice video embedded in this article if you want to watch. It's very short, but it does get the point across about what they're doing and how they did this and extended the life of this entanglement so that they're getting about 50% throughput so that they can actually create more than they're faster than they're deteriorating, which is important. They started with a very nice analogy. It says, imagine you had a very special vehicle and it took a very special fuel, only you couldn't produce any of the fuel. It wouldn't be much of a vehicle. So they need to create
like
these
a Tesla.
Tesla's run on electricity.
Charge it anywhere.
Oh, yeah. There's lots more charging stations for those popping up.
There are. I'm sorry. I was making a stupid joke.
And
well, take it so seriously, man.
The sky's blue. What's new?
That's right.
All right. Shall we do one more news story from space?
Yeah.
This is actually bad news, everyone.
It is kind of bad news. And I was looking to make sure I had an update or something, but I didn't see
anything.
But
it's not the end of the story. So let's keep going.
Yeah. So things have gone from bad to worse for the Opportunity rover now that it has caught up with a massive Mars dust storm, much like Mark Watney. Remember his
only little... he doesn't have a spike through his chest.
That's right. So in an update, NASA revealed that the Opportunity didn't respond to a contact attempt. The team now assumes the robotic explorer's batteries have reached critically low level, that it's currently in a lower power fault mode that shuts off everything but the mission clock.
It has Bluetooth LE.
Yeah. So it saves its battery. Outside of waking up and checking the power levels, the rover will stay in this mode unless its solar panels can restore enough energy. The problem, as you might guess, is that it's small. Isn't a small dust storm. It covers roughly a quarter of Mars. Wow. You might have to wait a long time before there's a chance of resuming contact with Opportunity, and that's assuming the rover hasn't been damaged. Don't give up, though. The rover managed to survive a fierce storm in 2007, so it doesn't give up that easily.
And, you know, a little bit of breeze or something could blow the solar cells clean again.
Yeah. Imagine, don't they have like some kind of wipers or something? Or did they? Would they put something on? Why not?
I don't know. I was thinking the same thing. Like, why don't you put a little, use some of the power for a compressor and go.
Yeah.
Periodically. Well, not necessarily a wiper, because that would be abrasive and then you'd be
like,
wearing things
out.
Hey,
we detected oxygen on Earth or on Mars, but it's like,
you could take the atmosphere around you and compress it. You wouldn't have to bring your own compressed gas or CO2 or something, because you'd eventually wear that out.
Yeah, like an airbrush, little compressor.
You'd go, and then you store that up till you
solve NASA's problems.
Yeah, because there weren't bigger problems with Opportunity.
Or brains.
As we learned after talking to Adam Stelzner.
That's right.
Which, you know what? That's a better ID than the one I just dropped in. Hang on. Let me find his.
So anyway, this Mars rover has actually been pretty resilient. So yeah, it's hard to count it out just yet. Actually, what is it, like 5-6 years past its lifespan? Something ridiculous.
We are getting extra mileage out of that. That is true. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We will be right back with some stuff in the media corner, and be sure to thank our patrons and much more. So hang on. We're coming back. Don't run away.
Geek Thoughts.
Okay, let's write the sequel statement. Select all from users where clue is greater than 1. Results 0.
This is Bob. Before, Bob relied on the internet to enhance his geek status. After using Technorama for natural geek enhancement, Bob is rolling his 20-sided die, reciting Holy Grail lines, and answering Star Trek trivia with the best of them. And he has a happy missus at the home, too! Technorama for natural geek enhancement. Only available at chuckchat.com.
My name's Adam Stelzner. I'm an engineer at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, and I think Technorama just might be the right kind of crazy.
We are the right kind of crazy.
Is there a right kind of crazy?
Yes. If there was, we are it.
Okay. I'll buy that. Yeah. All right. Let's give a shout out to the chat room, the people that are here on Sunday night at 9:30 Eastern time that participate in this crazy. Who do you see?
I see immediately Clinton Alvord, John Miller Jr., and CJ Lamb, one of my old friends in general. One of my old friends in general. Sorry to say school. I don't know why. Rick Stringer was in there.
Oh, hey.
Technorama podcast. Hey, that's us. Michael King, Richard Green. Blah, blah, blah, blah, blah. And that's it.
Let's see if I have anybody. Weber Baker.
Okay.
We say him yet?
Why does it show different people?
Because it doesn't show me your friends. It must be a privacy thing.
Yeah, but it doesn't make any sense.
I know. Does Facebook make sense?
Only, you know, when privacy's.
Right. So if you want to catch us, you can either subscribe to the page, Technorama Podcast on Facebook, and you will get notified when we are live. I do have some people say, I think it was Mark Trubel. He was over this weekend. He said, you know, I get the notifications, but it's always in some place where I can't really watch, like when I'm grocery shopping. Okay, that's fair.
It's all mobile. You can watch it.
Walking around like, okay.
No excuses, man.
What? Where did this groceries come from?
Those aren't the melons you're looking for.
Oh, careful. We encourage you to do that, but it's totally up to you. You can watch it later on YouTube as well. If you look for Technorama Podcast there.
Watch it in your car while you're driving.
No, please don't
do that.
Don't
do that.
How many times have we told you not to listen to Craig's advice?
Yeah, don't do that.
Also want to give a shout out to our patrons, our very special people who contribute to this show. They give as little as $1 a show and only pay when we produce an episode. And they include Kyle Nishioka, Abner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Mike Wills, Megapodtastic, Night Gig Studios, Gary Lindros, John Clifford, Leon, John Noble.
That John Noble?
Not that John Noble. Chris MC, thank you very much. Alexis Duran, Saturday Morning Media, Steve Therian, Yorgos Rawin, and we
want Yorgos Rawin?
Yes, that Yorgos Rawin. We want to see your name here if you want to get extra bonus content that we record right after this show, but release before this show. How's that confusing? You can get that as well by going to patreon.com/technorama podcast. What?
You didn't update the list. John Miller Jr. is also a patron.
John Miller Jr. joined this week?
Yes.
You know, I went to the show, but I didn't say list all members. It just had the same amount as last week. Did we lose one?
I don't know. We'll have to go look. But okay. I think, but his name's on there.
Woohoo! Thank you, John Miller Jr.
He says we're going to get sued. Hey, I've lived up to my obligation.
What? sued for what?
Well, when you sign up for Patreon, you get we got to mention you in the show.
We did mention you in the show. Now we're good. So call off the lawyers.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/TechnoRamba Podcast, or you can go to our website and you'll find a link there. Thank you very much once again. You people really make this show affordable, more or less affordable. Always something. There's always something in hosting or headphones or you name it. Software needs upgrading. It's crazy that how much effort it takes to make a podcast these days. Why do we still do this, Craig? Why do we still do this?
It's not for my benefit. It's for not, you, it's the listener.
You're right. Because we're not getting rich, but we are getting rich off of you. No, wait. We're rich with friends. That's it.
Yeah. Rich, meaning being rich isn't always about money. Here we go.
We'll work with that. Whoa, I thought I hit abort. There. We'll work on the audio and we'll work on our slogan. It's not working.
Yeah, we'll make it up. We'll make it up in about a couple more. Give me a couple more minutes. We'll figure it out.
Chicken wire and baling twine is expensive. We need your Patreon dollars to keep the chickens feed. All right. We have Hacks and Strange Stories. Well, at least I got the right button on that one.
Yeah.
Stunning artworks from the Needleman. And we're not talking about somebody who backed into a cactus.
Or the druggie that hangs out at the corner.
We have a subtitle to remind you to share, like, or subscribe to this video.
hey man, you got any more of those?
No, not that kind of needle man. He's the world's only sewing machine painter. Arun Kumar Bajaj has a very unusual skill. He can paint with sewing machines. Technically, it's embroidering, not painting, but his artwork is so incredibly detailed that it could pass off as hyper-realistic paintings to the untrained eye. And the fact that he does it all with a sewing machine just makes it that much more impressive. Arun is really good at drawing and painting. He was really good at it when he was growing up and dreamed of becoming a famous painter. But his father's sudden death at 15 years ago foiled his plans and forced him to abandon school in order to run the family business. His father was a tailor, and he became one too. Good for him. But he didn't let the artist inside him die. Instead, he started, quote, painting with needle and thread. But instead of using his hands, he decided on a rather unusual embroidering tool, the sewing machine. Took him a while to master this unique art form, but today he is recognized as the world's only sewing machine artist. He says, I've been stitching for the last 23 years since I was 12. The 35-year-old artist found, also told DNA India, my father was a great tailor and he died early when I was 16 and I had to drop out of school to take over the shop. I was good at sketching in school and this is a way I could combine the two arts. I didn't want to maintain just Darzi. He didn't want to remain just a Darzi or a tailor all his life, Arun added. I wanted to make a name for myself, even though my obsession has caused financial uncertainty to my family. Well, if he can sell these pieces of art, I don't think he'll have a problem with financial stability.
Those are pretty amazing.
Those are pretty amazing. We're showing some of them on the screen if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, and you can see.
Obviously from here, when he holds them up, you know, look at him closing up, but it looks like a print.
It kind of does, but no, those are all sewn. It's pretty crazy. There's a video embedded. If you go to the website, chuckchat.com/technorama, we have show notes. You can click through, and he has a video in there where he does a close-up of it. It's gorgeous.
The only problem I see with this, if his company sells T-shirts in bulk, it's going to take you forever to get them.
Oh, yeah. No, these aren't the kind of things you do in bulk. No. What they remind me of is the tapestries. What was it, in the Vatican, Donna? Where we were looking at the tapestries in the Vatican. That's kind of what reminds me of. Is if you get really close, then you start seeing the stitches. And I took some pictures of that really close and far away. But they're photorealistic. He's got a tiger in a cave. He's got a picture of the Afghan girl. Remember when National Geographic took a picture of that woman with the amazing eyes? And then they went back like 25 years later and found the same woman.
Mm-hmm.
He painted the after picture, not the before picture. Not painted. I mean, these look like paintings.
Might as well be. Yeah. Yeah, he's painting with thread.
These are gorgeous. If he can, you know, get somebody to do a gallery, this guy's got it made.
Right.
All right, where's the rest of my show notes? Here we go. If you, again, if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, you will see that. And thank you very much if you are. Media Corner, right?
Yep.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the Media Corner.
I was considering putting this story into our topic as Trek, but since we're not doing a show for another week and a half, then we could use it on this show.
That's right. And this ain't Priceline, buddy.
Well, you might be paying Priceline with this stuff. Go ahead.
So Steven Seagal and DJ Khaled have taught us that if any celebrity endorses a cryptocurrency project, you should immediately assume it might be a scam. But okay. William Shatner, huh?
Okay.
Yeah, but William Shatner seems to be backing a pretty interesting crypto mining initiative. The actor, who's best known for playing Captain Kirk and giving odd line readings, didn't intend to become the latest B celebrity to pull a cash grab out of the Bitcoin boom. Shatner was made environmentalism one of his pet causes for quite some time, and he's now working with a pitchman for Solar Alliance, a Canadian solar power company.
Mm-hmm.
This week, though, the company announced a new plan to build a solar-powered facility in Illinois that will be used for mining cryptocurrencies. Okay. I'll bite. What's up? So in 2014, Shatner tweeted, "So Bitcoin is cyber snoop currency."
No, snob.
Snob.
Cyber snob snoop. Currency.
Snoop.
Wow.
What was that, snoop? Snob currency. His view since then has apparently evolved, and you can, but you have to blank your mind and say, "What is a blockchain again?" That's what I always say. What is a blockchain again?
It has something to do with Charlie Brown, right?
Yeah. Wah, wah,
you wah, blockchain. Wah.
That's right. He told the Chicago Tribune the concepts are really strange, yet when you begin to grasp it, it makes sense. So a blockchain is a, should I go through the whole thing? The whole description of a blockchain. The blockchain is a decentralized platform prematurely recording and verifying.
Not prematurely.
Permanently, excuse me, recording and verifying transaction as long as users run nodes in a blockchain system. The records will be there in cases like Bitcoin is totally open for the public to see. Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies currently require computers all around the world to compete to be the first to guess the answer of a complicated equation in order to mine the Bitcoins. The resulting unit of cryptocurrency is the reward for all the systems verifying the transactions in the ledger and keeping the whole system up to date. But it takes a lot of energy to mine those coins.
Yeah.
And just ask Mario. And a recent study found that mining one Bitcoin requires the same amount of electricity as the average household uses over the course of 2 years.
Oh my gosh.
I was not expecting them to say 2 years. I was going to say like days or something. Solar Alliance is looking to provide a solution to that very real problem. This week it announced that it has bought a 165,000 square foot warehouse in Murfreesboro, Illinois, and it will power with a mix of traditional grid and solar energy. Once this facility is ready, the company will rent space out on its huge servers that crypto miners use to make bank.
Hmm.
Is that a pun? Or mm-hmm. Real thing?
Bank. Yes, I see what you did there.
Okay. So I'm going to continue reading. There's more information, but that's an interesting way to go about things.
It's interesting because they're putting it in Illinois and Arizona, particularly the Phoenix area and the Southwest area down here, has been very popular for a lot of companies to put their data centers, and we have abundance of solar energy as well. So I would have thought it'd be somewhere in this neighborhood.
You know, and I was speaking of the 2 years thing, I was just watching a YouTube video about blockchain, and it said it takes about 10 minutes to work on to hash out a blockchain.
10 minutes?
Yes, because there's a lot of guesswork.
Okay,
it's a lot of guesswork.
But it's not 10 minutes to mine a Bitcoin.
No, not a coin.
Okay,
to make one of the hashes.
Right.
You know, and that I get. Yeah, and it's just in there, and it looks like, the way the guy described it, it's like it's a lot of guesswork for the computer just to go, is it this? Oh, it's got it. I got it. You know, and next, is this, and just keep going through it. And I don't know. It didn't seem very efficient.
No.
But you get the added thing of, not privacy so much as open eyes on the problem, kind of, so to speak. So it's more public. You know, people can see all the hashes and they were all figured out. But everybody's wanting to throw blockchain at everything. Even like network communication.
It makes sense in certain areas, and what those ideal use cases are yet, I'm not sure. But you do hear that word a lot lately.
Yeah.
Seems to be one of the IT buzzwords.
Our resident expert, technical guy, Clinton Abworth, says, cryptocurrency transactions can be very slow.
That's from our remote news department in Massachusetts.
That's right.
All right. We want to close with one more thing from the Media Corner. And this one just sounded fun. If you go to our show notes and you click on the link that take you to geeksaresexy.net, you can watch meteorologist Lauren Oleski from Florida News Station, WPEC, solve a Rubik's Cube while delivering her weather report. She is one heck of a multitasker.
Can we give the spoiler?
Yes, she does it. But she does get a little off track. I mean, it's interesting because she'll look at the pattern she's got and her hands will start going so she can look at the camera. She does repeat herself a couple times about the onshore storms, but offshore storms.
But considering what she's doing in her hands and speaking, and she continues to speak.
Yes.
In a well-formed mashing.
Better than somebody who's not doing a Rubik's Cube right now.
Words come out my mouth and I speak.
So. Sometimes.
But now she does a good job, and it's kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, and she does stumble a little bit at the edge. She goes, oh, wait a minute, where was I?
Hey, you know what's funny is when she's turning the cube around, I don't know if you noticed that sometimes the green would interfere with the green screen. So you could, like, see the lines and the counties behind her.
No green on a Rubik's Cube.
Yes, there is.
Red, orange, yellow, blue, white, green. Green and yellow are opposites? Okay. That's how long it's been since I've done one. There is green. Okay, yeah. So the green is screwing with the green screen?
Yeah, because I think I saw green once.
She's got a hole in her abdomen.
Yeah, then it was like orange to go along with the counties behind her. It was kind of funny. Right. I saw the line. I noticed the lines.
I'm going to zip ahead a little bit here just to see. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Up quite a bit as
well. All right. I don't want to get in trouble from YouTube saying, you've already got that. That's licensed material. Like, uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, where is she? Put this ad away. I don't need to see other things from service now. Yes, I can mute the sound on that. All right. And she does tend to step forward and backward while she does this video as well. But considering her brain is engaged in two other
weather
things,
people do that.
You know, not as frequently as she does. Once you notice, it's like, okay, you can stop moving now.
What do you criticize her? She did a good job. She delivered
yes, that's what I'm saying. She had other things on her mind and she probably wasn't paying attention to her presentation style as much as she normally would. Right. Like, unlike some of us who never pay attention to their delivery style. That brings us to the end of the show.
What are you looking at me for?
I'm not looking at you. Well, I'm looking at the camera and you happen to be on the other side of the camera. Okay.
Okay.
Eva and I had to talk about that yesterday. Like,
what, me?
When you watch people on a WebEx, they're kind of looking down at their screen instead of looking at the camera on their laptop.
Well, I try to honestly, when
it's a hard skill to learn. It's a hard skill to learn. But once you see yourself doing it, you'll stop.
Well, for Skype, I try to position your camera right, or your picture right under the camera.
Mm-hmm.
For WebEx, you're kind of off to the side. And I do look at the camera occasionally. I look back and forth and stuff. So. I don't stare at my keyboard or stare at one part of the screen.
Most people will have their eyes down here, and somebody even made a comment. How come you always look like you're talking to me? Just because I'm talking to the camera and you are behind the camera.
Yeah, and you know, I probably do that more because we've been doing Skype and stuff for so long.
Yeah.
And video conferences, even before I've been using it at work, but so I'll look at the person sometimes, and I'll look at the camera. I just kind of go back and forth like you would. Do you look at somebody's left eye or their right eye, or do you go back and forth?
Watch TV, watch actors. They'll flip back and forth really fast. I think it's a subconscious thing because I can't believe anybody's really doing that on purpose. And
I try to switch between them. It's not necessarily a conscious thing. I think I'm really considering a bit, but I, but I do look at one sometimes, and then I look at the other, kind of go back and forth. But yeah, what do you usually do when you're in conversation with somebody?
I'm usually watching one eye. I will often train to a different eye, but not as frequently as most people that I, most actors that I see doing on TV. And that's my only sample size right now, because I don't often look at other people's eyes while, you know, watching, understanding what they're doing, because my brain is engaged in the conversation.
Well, if you have an answer for us about which eye to look at, contact us at 707-530-CHAT.
2428. That's right. We are at the end of the show. We have a question for you for next week. What fictional place would you most like to visit?
Fantasy Island.
Oh, please, no. Oh, no, no, no, no, no.
Kronos. I've been dying to go to Kronos.
Before or after it? Oh, wait. No, that was a moon that got a hole.
Yeah, that was Praxis.
Praxis. Praxis sounds like a medical supplement or some kind.
Yeah, see, it sounds like the first name. Hey, it was the first name they had. They were going to go with before Pixar.
Ask your doctor if Praxis is right for you. I sense a bit coming up for the next show.
If you have an explosion that lasts more than 4 hours,
you can't get your dilithium mining drill engaged.
Oh boy!
Kind of writes itself, doesn't it?
CJ Lamb said Romulus. There you go. Yeah, that's a good vacation spot.
Romulus.
Yeah, they got some great ale. That's what I heard.
We have some great listeners. We want to hear what the answer is, and we will be putting this out to a wider audience than just our listeners as well. So you may get some really interesting answers. I suspect someone's going to say Pandora, not the radio station on the internet.
Yeah.
Let's go to their that office. Takes us to the end.
Let's go to their corporate headquarters.
They have really tall people there. They're like 9 feet tall. And they have pointed ears. Thank you for joining us. If you want to get in touch with us, go over to our page, chuckchat.com. Click on the Technorama link. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and all that other good stuff. We look forward to hearing from you then. You don't forget, if you want to be a Patreon member, patreon.com/technoramapodcast. We would love to give you that special content that only our Patreon people do in return for your loving support. Thank you very much. That takes care of it for this week. Craig, until next time, would you be so kind as to give us the salutary sign-off?
101.
I don't even have to tell them what it is anymore.
I know. Like I learned, finally.
Take care. Until next time. Bye.